I want to just read a passage of scripture concerning worship and remind us that worship isn't what we're used to. We can become used to things. Three songs, a hymn, an offering, pastor's going to teach the word, then we're going home, and I'm going shopping, or I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do. We're not that way because that's human nature. We get used to things and you go. And when I woke up this morning, I just heard him say, "Listen to me. Just listen." Whew. Just listen to me. Well, that presupposes that he's saying something. Well, listen, the reason why that breaks me up is because this morning wasn't the only time he's saying something. Hello? Are we listening? Are we listening? I'm not saying that in a condemning fashion. I'm just saying, you want God as a Christian, as a believer, as a child of God, you want God more than anything else that is possible to be wanted. Because he is the fullness, he is the essence of what life is. Come on, not the work that you've got waiting on you when you go home. Not that person, not the husband or the wife or the child, whatever. He is the essence. He is the fullness of life. And so we want him. Well, Jesus, in this context, I mentioned it during worship, during our time, that we call worship, when all of life is to be remembered now is worship. All of life. And so as we think of that, we think back on when we were acting ugly yesterday. Come on. When we were acting unchristlike. That happens. But that's worship. Jesus comes to this woman at the well. He talks to her about living water. And she asks for the water, and Jesus says, "Go call your husband." Because, see, worship has to do with how you live. Now, I want to say that, I had a message for us on marriage, because I don't know about anybody else, but God ain't let me go yet. Huh? How many of you know God has a, how many of you know that you don't have a hold of God? He has a hold of you. Aren't you glad about it? You don't have a hold on him. He has a hold on you. It's like we've often said about the little child crossing the street. The child isn't holding mommy's hand. The child isn't holding daddy's hand. Daddy's got a hold on you because your grip isn't strong enough. And we must realize, God, our grip isn't strong enough. My concept and understanding of marriage isn't strong enough to get me by. So God has been doing some things in my heart and my life through the marriage seminar, through different listening to R.C. Sproul. He blessed me this past week on the radio, some things he said. But ultimately, it was something God said to me that literally changed, and we were talking about this on Tuesday night. We were talking about a word from God, that as the word of God is preached, supernatural things go on. And it doesn't have to be, now I'm rambling now, so stay with me, if you can. But we were talking about the word of God, how that when it is spoken, when someone stands up, and I know, see, we don't understand this, it doesn't hit us, but when someone stands up and reads the word of God, miracles happen. Miracles are going on. But the miracles that I'm talking about are not visible all the time to the naked eye. It's the miracle of change in you and me. It's the miracle of change in you and me. That's what this word does. That's why we're always encouraging you, read it. Just read it. Because it's going to change you from the inside out. So Jesus comes to this woman, and after he begins to talk to her about her life, the woman changes the subject and says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And I've preached this, taught through this passage of scripture before, you may remember. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." Jesus said to her, "Is not on that mountain in Samaria, is not on the mountain in Jerusalem. Where is the place of worship? Where do you worship the Father? It's not in Samaria, and it's not in Jerusalem." Jesus said that you worship what you do not know. We, the Jews, know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Where is the place of worship? The place of worship is no longer a geographical location. It's not a physical entity. The place of worship is in spirit and truth. That's where the Father is worshipped. That's where worship takes place. Worship doesn't take place in the four walls of a building, of a church sanctuary. Worship happens in the place of spirit and truth. When we respond to God in spirit and truth, we are in the place of worship. Now, you can be in a sanctuary and not be responding to God in spirit and truth. You can be in a physical church building and not be worshiping. This woman was on Samaria, and her fathers worshipped on this mountain in Samaria, and she was saying, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain." Jesus said, wrong place of worship. Wrong place. Then he mentioned the Jews, that they worship in Jerusalem. Wrong. He said, the hour is coming, and now is, when you will neither on that mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. The Father is seeking such to worship him. And he's still seeking, and he's still longing for us to worship him. Now, I'm going to pull up illustration out of our own personal life. We were watching TV the other day, and the program that came on had a man cursing. He kept cursing, and he wouldn't stop. Finally, I said, turn the channel. Turn the channel. Can't take it. Why did I do that? Why do you do it? Actually, it's a form of worship. It's a type of worship. How so? Well, because the Holy Spirit now, we worship him in spirit and truth. And so worship now is when I respond to what I know is true about God. When I respond in spirit of worship. And so what I know that that's not edifying, what I know is that that is polluting this temple, this house, where God lives. Now, listen. If Jesus came up in your house, sat down on your sofa, and you watched everything that you watched, now, could you do it? No. No, you couldn't do it. Why? Because you'd always be looking over at him going, "I wonder if this is bothering him. I wonder if he would. Hello? Come on now. Well, listen, you don't have to wonder. You don't have to wonder if it's okay with him. Why? Because you live in spirit. You worship God in spirit and in truth. So as I said this morning, he just said, just listen to me. Listen, wherever you are, just listen to him. And you will find where worship is. You will find that is the place in spirit and truth. And he will never lead you wrong. He will never lead you wrong. Worship is not just here playing the instruments and clapping and raising hands. No, worship is going to the well, trying to get some water. Worship is, and worship will affect your lifestyle. Because as Jesus came to this woman, he didn't come just to offer a few words. He came to take over. Remember that when Jesus came into your life, when he came into my heart, he didn't come just to share. He didn't come to share me with me. He came saying, I am the king. And I have come to take over. That means you are no longer in control. I am in control. And so he says to this woman that the Father is seeking worshipers. He called them true worshipers. True worshipers. There are a lot of false worshipers all in the church calling themselves Christians. Part of the message that I was going to share with you had to do with same-sex marriage. There are a lot of Christians. Matter of fact, there are whole churches that they're a gay church. Now, beloved, that cannot be. But yet they say we worship, and they play guitar, and they sing to God, to Jesus, if you will. But see, that's not worship, because the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and truth. If there's no truth in your worship, it's not worship. Jesus, I was reading one site and one gentleman said Jesus did not condemn or didn't mention homosexuality. Therefore, since he didn't mention it, he must condone it. Well, we know there's a problem with his exegesis, homiletics, and his hermeneutics, how he interprets scripture, how he puts it together. Well, I'm not going to teach that. Let me stay here. Okay. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So a person, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And so God, being a spirit, he made us spirits that we might worship him. He didn't make animals a spirit. Animals can't worship God. They can praise God. Little bird out there, tweet, 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 getting his tweet on. And spring's coming, and you're going to be hearing it pretty soon. And I love it. I'm sitting in prayer, and that bird's out there, and they just start. And I just love listening to them praise God. But they can't worship God, because worship is responding to God. Right? All right. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit. If it just said in spirit, we'd be in trouble. If all Jesus said was must worship in spirit, because we're all human beings, we're all made in the image of God, we are all spirits, we have an eternal spirit. But he didn't just say in spirit, he said, and in truth. And in truth. Then he went on to say in John 14, I am the way, I am the truth, I'm the truth. And so when we look at Christ and we look at what he says, we find out what truth is. And so Jesus tells us what true love is. Because in some communities, in the gay community, they say, well, we love each other, we ought to be married. Hold on, what's love? Hold on, what's love? Is it just a feeling? No. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love is not a feeling. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, obey me. That's what he said. So how can that a gay Christian say, I love Jesus? You can't. You can't. Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You can't do that. So, let me read on here. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Oh, my Lord, Jesus. It would be appropriate for her just to pass out. You know, she passed out by the well. I mean, you mean you? Wham! You know, just go out. I'm talking to the Messiah. Yes, talking to the Messiah. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city. Isn't that just like Jesus? She came for water. But when she met Christ, she got so filled that she left her water pot and went back into the city. You know, when you meet Jesus, you'll forget all that other junk you're running after. When you really meet him and he fills your heart, you'll leave it all alone. She went and said to the men, Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. And in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. I have food to eat which you do not know. If that's true, then I believe that there is that which will nourish us. God help us to find out about it. Hello? I don't want to live my whole Christian life, get to the end and find out that I could have been eating, could have been nourishing myself, could have been partaking of the will of God, because Jesus, it goes on and says, therefore his disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. The will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. What's the will of God for you? What's the will of God? Because it is that, and there is a will of God for each and every one of us. There is that he has for us, and it is that that will nourish you. If your soul is dry, if your soul is longing and needy, part of the reason would be because in some area of your life, you're not realizing the will of God. You're not being filled with the will of God. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. He said, I have food to eat which you do not know. And The disciples knew that by this time Jesus should have been hungry. You'll remember that the scripture starts out with Jesus sitting by the well being wearied from his journey. Okay? And the scripture makes very clear, and it's in verse 6, it says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. So physically, he's spent. But after this time with this woman and doing the will of God for his life, he's energized. So much so that he doesn't even eat. The thing that will energize you and I spiritually is the will of God for our life. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this is the saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And then it goes on to simply show that, or share that, the Samaritans, many of the Samaritans in the city believed on him because of the woman who testified that he told me all that I ever did. And I believe that, and my prayer is that because of the testimony that you and I have of our Lord and Savior, that many people would come to know Jesus. Because I don't, you know, when you worship and you worship and you just kind of like get caught up in the spirit, how many of you feel things and you see things? I mean, you just feel things. One point today, over on that side of the sanctuary, it was almost as if Jesus was standing at the gate of heaven ready to just step over. Is this the impression that I got? That he's coming. He's coming, church. He's coming. And that our testimony would be believed, would be heeded, would be shared, would be given that people might believe. Because it doesn't matter whether it's a gay lifestyle or any of the other vices that are mentioned in the scripture, covetousness, idolatry, thefts, whatever it might be, lying, you know, sin is going to send people to hell. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's what Paul said. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And that gospel is hidden in you and me. We have the gospel. We have the key to people's prison doors. If we can share with them the gospel, I don't care what your sin is. I don't care what sin you are. If I can share the gospel with you, if God would grant you repentance unto life, that you would come out of darkness into the light of God. And so when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. Isn't that something? Did you know? It's interesting. You know, we don't have to say to Jesus, stay with me. But because they did, he did. Remember Jesus said, ask? These people, had they not asked, Jesus would have gone to another city. But they said, would you please stay with us? I love that. They wanted Jesus. Do you want Jesus? Well, you know, for us, I think it's a bit different. It's the opposite. It's not he stays with us. It's we stay with him. Because his presence is promised to us. He's living on the inside. He's dwelling within us. And so they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Many believed because when they heard Christ speak, they knew this is the Messiah. My prayer is that we would hear him speak. Because when you hear God speak, oh, when you hear him speak, I don't care who you admire in this life. I don't care who you're looking up to. When he speaks, it's done. When he speaks, something is released in you. When he speaks something in you, if you were here Tuesday night, you would know what means. Okay, because we talked about it. And but when he speaks, something goes on that otherwise would not have happened. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." The Samaritans believed what Jesus couldn't get the Pharisees in all Jerusalem to do. We know that this is the Christ. The Pharisees were still asking when they were crucifying him, "I adjure thee by the living God that you tell us, are you the Christ?" They still didn't believe him. But the Samaritans believed. All right. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for truth. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for indwelling us. Thank you that the blood of Christ has been applied to the doorposts of our life. Thank you for cleansing us, for making us your home. Thank you for living within us, Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that in our lives as worshipers of Jesus, we would live in such a way that your name would be declared as holy, that your name would be glorified by the life that we live, by what we do, by what we say, Lord, by what goes on in our heart. May Christ be glorified. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.